Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network presents the Roundtable Report, a discussion of today's issues. So the kid gloves are off as we listen to real answers from real people. Come and join us on the Roundtable Report.
And good evening. I'm John Jeffers here at the Contra Radio Network. I have to apologize for the, well, we didn't start on time at 8 o'clock, but somewhere along the way there was a big technical glitch and off the air we went. So after calling Blog Talk Radio, we're going to restart the show right now at 9 o'clock. We're going to go for about an hour, though. Speaking of about an hour, I was thinking about maybe cutting the show back from 2 hours to an hour. Might make a bit easier for compression, for information and whatnot to get it out there, as opposed to just running out of information. Now, sometimes the information just isn't out there. The news tips we got coming in just aren't out there sometimes. This might make it easier. If you want to call in, give us a call. We're at 516-453-9389. Again, 516-453-9389. And I guess Skype is out, so you can't Skype us anymore. However, if you want to get into the chat room is open. What I want to start off with is something that we picked up on Thursday. I picked up Thursday right after the show Wednesday night. And we picked it up from Red Flag News. They twigged it off DC Clothesline, and they got it from the Daily Sheeple. The title of it is this, and I want to share it with you. It's called "Is Something Big Coming." Report: FEMA just quietly activated the Civilian Corps. I know what you're thinking. What is the Civilian Corps? Well, I'm going to tell you. It says the Daily Sheeple received an email tip who's warning that FEMA just quietly activated its hush-hush Civilian Corps last week. The message began with, "That was a very odd message about FEMA that came into my spam box at work." The message is titled, "FEMA activates its hush-hush Civilian Corps. Why now?" It reads, "Shalom. We received reports last week of various employees, citizens, and et cetera, heading down to Atlanta, Georgia, to either the Center for Disease Control and the Center for Community Preparedness," which is, guess what? FEMA. That's their official name. The Center for Community Preparedness. "As far as we can tell, it is true. One girl we spoke with actually gave a cover story for her absence and flight into Atlanta. We believe FEMA is actually activating its Civilian Corps. This is primarily a group of current and former government and military people, many with various training backgrounds, too broad to cover here. So while this group is unarmed, they are generally drafted from the fighting branches of the U.S. military, medical, and communications. We were informed that several companies in Minnesota responded by large numbers of their own veterans heading south. Only the families we asked confirmed where they were going and why. Few spoke to us without agreeing to anonymity." So why is this an issue? Should it concern you? Yes. If you know anything about these guys, they are the basis of Tom Clancy's novel, The Division, which was published a few years back. This is a real group of actual people, not some made-up branch or et cetera. For FEMA to pull in its entire Civilian Corps to Atlanta last week for training means that something big is about to go down in the United States. While we can confirm none of the people we spoke with gave us a straight answer, this is highly concerning. At this time, FEMA is denying the news. Anyway, that's the story as we know it. The email is signed from Nechama. It's a Jewish nonprofit disaster preparedness organization. Thoughts? Anyone? Is something big about to go down in the U.S., or is this just a normal training situation? It seems like strange timing right before Bilderberg, and coincidentally or not, right before what our government and mainstream media are reporting as the worst mass shooting in American history in Orlando. Although it is not, there have been many worse mass shootings dating back to the Indian massacres all the way up to the Waco massacre. So, is FEMA and Homeland Security preparing for something to go down that the rest of us are blissfully unaware of? Once again, this is proof we need to be prepared either way. What do you think? Yes? I don't know if Terry's going to call. I know Terry tried to get in earlier, but because of our technical malfunctions, I couldn't hear him, and I don't think he could hear me. So, yeah, we're up and running. So I'm feeling pretty good about this right now. So what do you think about this Civilian Corps? This is the first time I've ever heard of it. Now, I'd never read the book, The Division by Tom Clancy, but I did remember seeing it on the book racks. I just never picked it up. And so, and granted, you know, this is only just an email. They don't even know it's a hoax or whatnot. But I wanted to put it out there just because I thought it was an interesting little tidbit of information. Could it be like maybe the Civilian Corps has like the National Guard and Reserve Army components have, you know, a two-week, you know, summer training camp every year? So I'm just wondering if maybe that's what it is. I don't know. What we did pick up is this one. This is from the Organic Prepper. I thought you'd like it. It's entitled Prepping Excuses the SHTF Won't Care About. This is important, and it covers a lot of us because we all, at one point or another, do this. We actually think this stuff. So if disaster was a human named SHTF, or crap hitting the fan, it would be that person who takes delight in dropping by unannounced and seeing you at your worst. Side note, in case you hear something in the background, I got both my ham radio and NOAA weather radio going. We're getting hammered here in Illinois tonight. So if by some chance you hear the alarm go off and I have to vacate, well, then I have to vacate. But so far, it looks like it's all south of us on I-88 in DuPage County. It's like it's catching it. And it looks like we got three tornado warnings in the state between, north of Ottawa, Illinois, which is west of Joliet and west of there. All right, getting back to it. Just thought, in case you hear the ham radio, you know what's going on. All right, you're not losing your mind. You're not getting a cross signal. So crap hitting the fan would be the person who takes delight in dropping by unannounced and seeing you at your worst, still in your PJs, out of coffee, and taken utterly by surprise. The kind of person who takes advantage of your unpreparedness to ask to borrow the keys to your new car while you're still in shock at his arrival. The kind of person who acts surprised that you're surprised and makes you feel like a 12 kinds of an idiot for being surprised. The kind of person you must always plan for, like an unpleasant in-law, whether you want them to come by or not. So crap hitting the fan doesn't generally drop by at the most convenient of times, nor does crap hitting the fan care about your prepping excuses. In fact, crap hitting the fan thrives and grows exponentially under more adverse circumstances. So suck it up, put on your boots, and power through it. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care about your prepping excuses. Hey, it looks like Terry's here. Let's see if we can get him in here. Hey, Terry, can you hear me tonight?
Howdy.
Ah, he's back. He's back. Welcome, brother. And I just told the people that we were having major technical problems at the 8 o'clock hour. So we would just start at 9 o'clock tonight and just go for about an hour. Before I get back to what I was talking about, the 25 prepping excuses that crap hitting the fan doesn't care about, I was thinking about cutting the show to about an hour. What do you think?
You mean permanently?
Yes.
Or well, I mean, just we tonight.
Expand it. Well, we're going to be going for an hour tonight, but I was thinking maybe it'd be a lot easier to do the show for an hour in terms of information that we have to get out to people. We could always expand it later, but I was thinking generally just kicking it back for an hour show. What do you think?
Well, can't hurt. I mean, we just kind of like a news program. You just kick out a lot of information, this and that, but it's going to cut back a lot on the commentary from other people that want to call in. So I guess maybe we can do an hour. Maybe you could just do it like do it an hour and then if it lasts more, then it lasts more. If it's just an hour, then it's at least 1 hour.
Right.
If it goes to 2 hours, okay. But if it doesn't, then
we're good.
Made plan for 1 hour at least.
Yeah, right.
Of hardcore journalism.
It is hardcore. All right, let's get back to this. So, crap hitting the fan. Number one, crap hitting the fan doesn't care about inclement weather. Snow, hail, tornadoes, pouring rain, and hurricanes all just add to the party atmosphere for crap hitting the fan. All right. So, crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you sprained your ankle, broke your leg, or otherwise less than ambulatory. You have to bug out the vehicle. You have to bug out regardless of your injury status. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you decided to start prepping after you take that trip to Disney World, because how can you do it before? That trip is expensive. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you're on a boat in the middle of an ocean, regardless of what you paid for the luxury cruise. Check out the recent ill-fated Carnival cruise of the Triumph if you don't believe me. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you plan to get your vehicle repaired. You have to evacuate regardless of the leak from the oil pan, the condition of the brakes, or the funny noise in the transmission. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that the entire family is ill with the stomach flu. The entire family will just have to pause to throw up while bugging out. Crap hitting the fan is true. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you need new hiking boots and that you just haven't had time to get to the store to buy them. You'll be walking through the apocalypse in the ratty ones with the sole half torn off. We've all had those boots. By the way, do you see duty boots for $50 and you buy them? Shame on you. Got to take care of your feet. Spend anywhere from $125 to $200 for a good pair of duty boots. You know, 9-inch duty boots. You won't have a problem.
And you should have more than one pair of shoes.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, for me, like, we've got boots and we have a pair of tennis shoes, just in case.
Right.
But sometimes you got to be on a run.
The crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you plan to buy some emergency food with your next paycheck. You'll be dining on a can of peaches and some stale crackers. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you always use electronic banking. If the ATMs are down and you have no cash, you cannot buy anything. Well, maybe. Depends on the situation. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you had planned to get the propane tank refilled, and now the propane trunks aren't running because of the ice storm that has turned your neighborhood into mini Arctic Circle. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you used all your ammo at the range and Walmart has been out for the past month. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that both the store and Starbucks are closed because of a power outage and you are totally out of coffee because you didn't build a stockpile. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you are wearing high heels when your car plummets to the bottom of a ravine. You still have to climb out. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that the pharmacies are closed because of a pandemic and you have no OTC meds or home remedies. If you catch the virus, you will suffer through it without medicine to treat it. Oh, and so will your kids. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that your truck is almost out of gas and the local gas stations have closed because of the disaster. If you have to bug out, you may end up walking instead of driving, which is probably a better idea anyways. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you're depressed because you just broke up with your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care if you're in a funk because you lost your job or your dog died. S happens when S happens. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you made a rock-solid plan to get in shape as soon as the weather warms up. You'll be sucking wind as you hurry up that hill in the cold. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care you're visiting your in-laws, the most unprepared people on the planet, and you failed to put some emergency food, water, and supplies in the trunk of your car. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that your wood is not dry. It will bring you a blizzard of it if it wants to bring you a blizzard. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you have 300 pounds of beans, wheat, berries, and rice, but failed to plan on a way to cook them. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care that you don't know how to cook over an open fire without inflicting second-degree burns on yourself. I know. Crap hitting the fan doesn't care if you are only a week's supply of toilet paper. If the crisis lasts longer than a week, things will be progressively less pleasant, regardless of your intention to purchase more Charmin. Crap Pain the Fan doesn't care. You plan to reinforce your door frame, install a metal security door, and build a safe room. If thugs arrive to invade your home, your hollow core doors will serve as a minor inconvenience instead of a deterrent. Crap Pain the Fan doesn't care if you think guns are bad and scary. Rest assured, if you don't have one, the people coming to take your supplies will have them. Crap Pain the Fan doesn't care if you think doomsday preppers are bat crap crazy. If you don't believe the fecal matter is headed towards the oscillating device, or whether you think it's an all-alternative media conspiracy theory, whatever your excuses may be, you may rest assured it will be easily on the list, and the crap hitting the fan won't care about that either. You probably already know that the things you should be doing to prepare for a disaster, how will it feel if you procrastinate doing them and your family suffers because of it? Most of the time it's an inconvenience, but in some cases, a lack of preparedness can mean the difference between life and death. Now, if you need help and motivation, you'll listen to Contra Radio Network. We will help you get motivated. We will give you advice. We will give you all kinds of fun things that you need to do. Speaking of which, Contra crew, you have 3 more days to keep collecting water, and then we will change into a new item for you. By the way, you can never have enough clean water.
Or at least the way to make water.
Mr. Terry, your thoughts on the crap hitting the fan?
Well, you said it a lot more of a lot more gentlemanly than I did.
Well,
I tell you what, Murphy does not care. Murphy is not your friend.
It will never be.
And I'll tell you what, when things happen, it doesn't matter. You know, in the military. And I'm telling you, when we have a military operation and we have plenty of time to plan for it, I mean, we could even be lucky enough to have enough time to scout out, recon, come back, formulate a plan, aerial reconnaissance, all kinds of stuff. We can practice, rehearse. I mean, bringing it all down to where it's in your dreams and you got it down. Every single soul knows what they're going to do. Still, things will happen wrong. Because, and I got an example for you. When Jimmy Carter sent the fellows out there from Delta Force to go hit Iran and rescue our hostages that Iran was holding. Right? I mean, for you young folks, that was back in the 70s.
They don't even know. They don't even know.
So the Delta guys, they practiced and rehearsed on an aircraft. They practiced and rehearsed on land with mock buildings. They practiced and rehearsed with vehicles. They practiced and rehearsed. I mean, they had a lot of reconnaissance going on. They had a lot of highly, highly trained professionals that were all working together to make the most outstanding plan that this nation can provide. And what happens? They had a freaking accident.
Sand in the filter.
The helicopter went down and killed them. I mean, they didn't plan for anything like that. So, these things happen, and I don't care how good you are. The point I'm trying to make is you could be the best in the world, and you know exactly what you're going to do. You've got this thing down to where you are in a total control master, and they'll still go wrong.
Right.
You don't know. So when shit happens like this, and when it hits the fan, all right, and we're in a situation, whatever it is, okay? If you have to walk, well, pull up your socks and tighten your boots because you're going to walk. If you can steal a bicycle, steal a bicycle.
Bicycles are excellent transportation.
Right. I mean, if it comes down to it, you beg, borrow, steal, and get your ass back to your family, your loved ones. You get back where you're supposed to be so that you can regroup and refit the fight. And that is exactly what you're supposed to do. Because just like our allies during D-Day, when we did a drops on the other, we didn't just hit the beach. We had guys parachuting in all over Europe throughout the whole theater. And some guys were just simply dropped off in the wrong location. Winds would drift, you know, and you end up being temporarily attached to another unit because you can't find your unit.
That's
and
temporarily
the same thing
misplaced.
Right, and the same thing happened during the guys that were being dropped off on the beach of Normandy. Mm-hmm. They were just, it was a hell storm coming down on them that they had guys who were lost, per se, but they weren't
not
really
lost.
A unit.
Not lost.
Not really. They were
temporarily misplaced.
Yeah, they were, you know, they were, it was all mixed up. By the time that they got to the cliffs, it was really hard because it was like all mixed up. And whoever got there, they just had to make a quick team right there. Well, what you got to do, what I'm trying to say is, you have to adapt and overcome. You have to figure out a way to make it happen. My son just turned 17. If I give him a task to do, and he's like, well, how do I do this? I'm like, well, figure it out. You have to start developing things like how to figure things out on your own, right? You have to be able to decipher the situation, figure out what your assets are, what tools are available, what is really the end result task that you need to accomplish. If it doesn't work, find another way. But
hey,
if a job has to be done, do it.
Hey, do you know what this is?
Did I
that's
say it
Murphy? No, that's Murphy laughing.
Yeah, that's reality laughing at you.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Which a lot of our liberals can't get.
Oh, they'll figure it out. Hey, guess what? I got I put a note on the CRN Facebook page. I said, you know, if you want to have your own internet radio show on CRN, Contra Radio Network, let me know. Well, Brandon Tronson, who we haven't heard from for a while, but he still listens. He's our truck driver friend from Eastern Washington State. He has been thinking about doing a show about that's centered around firearms. I told him that would be great. That's fine with me. So, Brandon, if you're listening, we think that'd be a good show. I think so.
Yeah, that'd be I tell you one thing. There's a lot of subjects, say like firearms and ammo, and the Second Amendment, why not, that you can have a lot of guest speakers.
We could.
There's a ton of people out there, including legislators, that wouldn't mind being interviewed for these things.
Well, they wouldn't. No, they would not. You know, if you want to do the radio show, I'll tell you what, it's real simple. Get a hold of me, ContraRadio@live.com, ContraRadio@live.com. I'm going to give you a very minuscule list of what you need to do your radio show. It'd be real simple. All right, so get a hold of me. Brandon, if you're listening, keep thinking about it and find out, you know, think about what days and what time you would like to do the show. I just wanted to share that. I like sharing.
And if you need any help, just say something.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know.
Hey, how about this? How about the five places in America you don't want to be when society collapses? Huh? Five
Chicago.
Places? Oh, no, that's a disaster now. Why wait? How about number one? Number one, the East Coast.
Yeah.
It says many survival and disaster experts agree that the East and West Coasts together are among the worst locations to survive a long-term disaster in the United States because they both meet the unsafe factor. high population density, high cost of living, strict gun laws, high crime rate, high taxes and regulations, so, and heavy traffic. Of course, we talked about the West Coast. That's where our good friend, well, Kirk. So, how about number three is Florida?
It's also very likely avenues of invasion.
Among other things. You could say the same thing about, Florida is generally not somewhere you want to be during disaster because it has high crime rate, a collapsed housing market, high cost of living, a very dense population, and much of the state is actually below sea level. So how about number four is Alaska? I know, the last frontier. And why? Well, they have a low population and low taxes, and it has a great abundance of rivers, lakes, wildlife, and edible plants. But when it comes to economics, Alaska is practically cut off from the rest of the United States. A lot of the supplies that Alaskans rely on are either flown or shipped into the state. So in a disaster scenario, those planes and ships will likely no longer be making shipments, which will be greatly limiting available resources. Okay, and number five is Hawaii. There you go. Well, yeah, Hawaii is a great place to vacation. No, yeah. Well, I enjoyed Hawaii when I vacationed there. But it's an utterly terrible location to be during an apocalyptic scenario, mainly because it's like Alaska. You look out any given day, you got all kinds of cargo ships coming in to Honolulu. And once they're unloaded on the docks at Honolulu, they're then redistributed to the islands. And that includes food and fuel. Now, they all say, well, it's a very high cost of living. I don't find it any high. When I was there, I didn't find it any higher than living in the city of Chicago. So take that for what it's worth. And generally, there's poor farming soil. And they have their gun laws are very strict. And there are many military bases on the islands that could be the targets of enemy attacks. So let's not forget one more thing. A big enough natural disaster ever happened to Hawaii. How will you escape? After all, it's just a series of islands in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Specifically, it's 2,500 miles from the mainland. So, a tip for you people that are going to go vacation in Hawaii. When you're talking to the locals, and they'll talk to you, it's a great place. It's an international location, it really is. But do not say, well, back in the United States, they take offense to that. They are part of the United States. Say, on the mainland. That's more than acceptable. So I just wanted to share that with you.
That's when you went to jail overnight, right, for the fighting in the bar?
No, you're kidding. No. I did a lot of really cool things in Hawaii. At least I thought that way. I really liked it. But I didn't think it was all that expensive. I mean, I'm sure from other people from around the country, but when you live in Chicago, which is just, astronomically expensive, it's all relative, I think. Now, is gas a little bit higher? Maybe, I don't know, 10 to 20 cents a gallon more, maybe. But, and like I said, the supply, you look out there on Waikiki Beach, you look on the horizon, you see the cargo ships coming into Honolulu. And like I said, they just unload that ship and then they reload the stuff on other ships, taking it to the various islands. So, the really good point is, what if there's something where you have to get out of Hawaii because of a natural disaster or whatever? How do you get out? It's an island. I don't know about you, but I can't swim 2,500 miles. So, I don't know. Just something that I wanted to put out there. Maybe go to Pearl Harbor and maybe get evac'd off of the ship that way. Pearl was pretty cool. Plus, if you know where to look, you could see the submarine pens where they were. I don't want to call them pens; they really weren't pens. You could see a few of the submarines, but you had to really look and know where to look. It was pretty fun. I enjoyed Hawaii quite a bit. Plus, it has the best climate for human beings on the planet. 82 degrees, a breeze all the time, no mosquitoes. It was a lot of fun. All right, enough of my vacation stories. I see Armageddon is now getting more play around the country into different, it's getting into 7 new cities this weekend. So that's good. What else you want to talk about? What else we got?
I want to talk about a story that was on Facebook, and then, which is pretty outrageous, if you ask me. It's something that's been sweeping across the country.
Are you talking about Disgrace Book?
Yeah.
All right.
No, like in Michigan.
Yes. I'm going to let you go on this one. Go ahead.
Right.
Rip on it.
Remember, I was telling you, I said, man, I got to talk about this one. Now, across the country, we're losing our rights just for natural resources. And I consider the small farm, the small family farm like mine, is a natural resource, because all I do is take some seeds and some water from my well, and the natural products that I compost and I make things here for my fertilizer, and I raise my chickens, I grow vegetables, I use water that's on the land. Oh, shit. I dropped my phone. And I have like a 3-acre pond that's stocked, right? And I try to take care of all this stuff so that I can take care of my family. But Michigan has come out. Now they're losing their rights to farm. And the Michigan – and this is a story out of check out thehealthyworld.com. Michigan residents lost their right to farm this week thanks to a new ruling by Michigan Commission of Agriculture and Rural Development. Gail Filburn of the Michigan Sierra Club told Michigan Live the news changes effectively removed the Right to Farm Act protection for many urban and suburban backyard farmers raising small numbers of animals. This is statewide. This is not just for a city. It's not just for a county. It's statewide. Backyard and urban farming were previously protected by Michigan's Right to Farm Act. The commission ruled that the Right to Farm Act protections no longer apply to many homeowners who keep small numbers of livestock. Kim White, who also raises chickens and rabbits, said, "They don't want us little guys feeding ourselves. They want us to go to the big farms. They want us to do away with the small farms, and I believe that's what they're motivated at." The ruling will allow local governments to arbitrarily ban goats, chickens, beehives, etc., on property where there are 13 homes within 1/8 of a mile, or a residence within 250 feet of the property, according to the Michigan Public Radio. And it goes on and on. And I want to tell you something. The ruling comes within days of a report from the World Health Organization stated, "The world is currently in grave danger of entering a post-antibiotic era." The WHO's director, General Dr. Margaret Chan, argued that the antibiotic used in our industrialized food supply is the worst offender, adding to the global crisis. In other words, we're killing ourselves because we keep putting chemicals in all of our food when we're farming it, and it's not properly cleaned or doesn't get filtered out by the plant. And by the time it gets to you and I, and we feed it to our children even, we're feeding these dangerous chemicals to our families. And it's hurting our abilities to fight antibiotics. And the Michigan Agricultural Commission passed up an opportunity to support one of the hottest trends in food in Michigan. Public demand for access to more local, healthy, sustainable food. Gail Philbin of Michigan Live. Meanwhile, neighboring Indiana Governor Mike Pence signed Senate Bill 179 a few weeks before, which freed up poultry and egg sales from local and state regulation. Yesterday, the USDA Secretary Don Vilsack announced massive funding to support research about small and medium-sized family farms, such as small farms' ability to build up local and regional economic systems. There's a lot of unnecessary legal action being taken against small farms who are doing good things in their communities, said Randy Butzler, who is also on the board of directors for the Michigan Small Farm Council. I mean, you know, in a nutshell, across the country, we are being slammed by this administration on the federal level, and it's filtering down into our state levels and local municipalities. It's illegal to collect water. It's off of your own roofs. It's illegal to grow a garden. It's illegal to grow food like chickens, rabbits, pigs. Okay, it's illegal to do anything of value within your own property. They want us to go to the grocery stores. They want us to only deal with the big boys that deal with produce. And then pretty soon they're going to do away with farmers markets if this keeps up, because they're small, medium-sized farmers. If they hurt these people doing this stuff, where's the farmers markets going to come from? Think about that. And if we start cutting these things out, the next generations will never get the practice or the skills on how to grow food for themselves. And then what are you going to do when the shit hits the fan?
What do you think? I'll tell you what I think. First of all, you get this.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Charles in Nebraska is right. It's called control. If you can control food production, you can then control the populace. Don't believe me? Look to our good friends, Venezuela. See what's going on with them. It is getting way... It's just some... I understand that they have deployed their military to try to curb the violence. And the bottom line is this. It's just a matter of time before the military will intervene on behalf of the civilian populace, and they will seize control of the government. A socialist government, I might add, that has failed their people miserably. Yes?
Yeah. I mean, they've not only failed them miserably, but it's like, it's almost as if they're turning against their own people, because they know that these people are hurting, and they are still stopping things from happening that will benefit them.
But that's
purposely doing it.
But that's what every government does.
Yeah, I know, but they don't purposely hurt them. They're not supposed to.
But government has a self-preservation interest. And if you're in government power, you will do anything to maintain that power. You don't care whether it hurts others, as long as it doesn't hurt you and yours.
No, that's just...
It's true. Now...
It really chaps my hide.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Chaps the old man's hide. There you go. You know, I think... what we're seeing here, and you're absolutely right, these small farms are where people, kids, especially those that are raised on the farms, learn to get the necessary hands-on practice for farming. Farming is not an assembly line production. I mean, there are some major co-op farms or corporate farms that have done that, but the bottom line is you have to know how to grow crops. And not all crops are grown the same. Yet, our government has this idea, and you're absolutely right. It's from, you know, You got the EPA, which is full of regulators. And if you don't know what a regulator is, look, here you go. A regulator will make regulations. It's not a law. It's a regulation because you can't appeal the law. There's no recourse against a regulation like there is a law. That's why they make it a regulation, so that way people can't fight it legally because it has no standing in court. It's not a law. It's a regulation made by a regulator who is a nameless, faceless bureaucrat who has no idea what really goes on in the real world outside his little bubble. This whole idea that for family farms are what makes this country. Do you like the farmer's market, like Terry said? I love the farmer's market. Do you like driving down the road and seeing a farm stand along the roadside? You stop and get, you know, some decent food? Well, in Michigan, apparently you're not going to be able to do that anymore because they're going to crack down hard. Oh, and collecting rainwater? Who in the hell in the EPA thought that was a crime? Again, it's not a crime. It's a control tactic. Control the water, control the populace.
And then beyond that, there's places, I believe it's in Maryland. They will
Maryland.
They tax you if how much rain falls on your property.
What?
Even if you're not collecting it.
Government is a greedy pig at the trough of public funds. They will tax anything and everything because they misspend money. They lose money. Oh, you don't think the government loses money? It does. You go check the IRS, and I guarantee you, you know, the people are supposed to control the money coming in, try to get money coming in, they've lost millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. They don't know where it went. There's no accounting for it. So instead of trying to find out where the hell it's gone, what they do is they come back to us, the bank. We need more money. We need more money. We need more money. We're going to steal it from you. We're going to take it from you. And then they misspend that. They misappropriate that. They lose the money. They don't know where it went. It's out of control.
And by the way,
before I forget, I want to say good evening to our friends in the NSA. Thank you for listening.
Yes. Welcome, one. How you doing? Sit down. Smoke them if you got them.
Yep. Join us at the round table. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, we invite you to call. What's the phone number again?
Our number is 516-453-9389, 516-453-9389. I would love to have them call in because I got some questions for them, and I'd just love to know the answer.
And they can just be an alias.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, my name is John. Okay.
I'm John from Nevada.
We'll call you Deep Throat. But anyways, for you young people, that's a Nixon joke. It's like I'm real nostalgia today, ain't I? There's two things I would like to say tonight. Tonight,
go ahead.
Tonight's drink of choice is scotch and soda, brought to you from my wife that brought some 100 Piper back from Thailand. Hunter Piper, made by Seagram's, is my favorite scotch. So tonight is scotch and soda.
Very good
choice.
A man's drink.
And I have it in this beautiful copper cup that my buddy from the Army gave me.
Well, there you go.
Really keeps that drink cold. And also, I had a discussion with one of my friends here. And I said, I was reminding him how, remember when Obama was running for president the first time and Hillary was also running for president, with all the rhetoric that was going on at the time, gun and ammo sales went up just because of that. Then
just because of them.
And then after Obama became president, then there was this huge shortage of ammo, freeze-dried foods. Even some mm-hmm. medical supplies and certain other things.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? And I said, a lot of people don't even know this. Even some basic medical supply stuff was starting to become a strain on the system because the government has been hoarding this. I mean, what are they going to do with 2 billion rounds? I said, do you know in Afghanistan, we didn't even use 1 million rounds the whole
time? Is
that
a fact? I didn't know that.
Or is that Iraq? I can't remember the numbers, but it's something like that. I really should look that up.
That'd be an interesting tidbit of information.
And but anyways, I said 2 billion rounds of ammo is
where do you store?
It's huge. Where does all this go? You can't tell me that the USDA needs that much ammo. So
why do they need any ammo at all?
Yeah, really. We know you got some unpasteurized milk here. Damn it, don't make me shoot your ass up. It's like a bunch of moonshiner things. Cracking tanks like moonshine stills. Get rid of that non-pasteurized milk.
Crack.
But like, you watch. I told him, I said, you watch. There's always a slim possibility that America is still stupid enough that will vote for Hillary back in the office, right? Another Democrat. So if that happens, where Hillary or don't be surprised. Guns and ammo are going to go up like crazy.
So I highly suggest now.
And we talked about this before.
We did.
Their magazines, like 30-round magazines or even 10. You better think about looking at your guns and ammo supplies today.
Inventory.
And on a safe, practical way on how to store it, right? Like
I use ammo cans. That's what I got.
Ammo cans. With the rubber seal around it.
Yep.
That's the way to go.
Right.
You can do that too. You put an oxygen absorber in there.
I do. And even a humidity.
What is that? Humidity decanter kind of thing. It takes the humidity out of the air, water. Mm-hmm. But anyways, that's why I save those hard shell type ones that you get from medicine.
Right.
Yeah, just let them heat up and stuff like that, and it can work again. But like, you seriously need to look at that. You need to look at your cleaning supplies for cleaning your weapons. I mean, all these times things are, might be going up. And for Father's Day, happy Father's Day, John, late Father's Day.
Thank you, sir.
Because, you're my radio daddy. It's like, just don't be yelling at me. Who's your daddy? No, it's like for Father's Day, I got a reloading equipment. A Lee Value Turret Press System. And the die system for the .223 or 5.56 bullet. So now I'm going to be reloading my new hobby.
Well, there you go. Your new hobby. Okay.
And if you're a prepper group, especially if you're shooting a lot, I'm sure you've talked about it. One of you guys, or maybe all of you guys, need to start putting your heads together and start reloading. And from what I understand, it's from everybody I've ever talked to and listened to, it's around one-fifth to one-third the actual price if you bought the ammo somewhere else.
Well, there you go, making your own. How soon before they outlaw that?
Oh, who knows? But you have to do things like you might have to, like what I'm going to do, I'm going to start stocking up on all the different supplies I need in order to reload more ammo, like blasting caps.
Right.
Kind of hard to make that one on your own.
Okay.
So there's a lot, I'm going to become a jack of that trade too.
Well, there you have it. There you go. Roofer and reloader.
Roofer. Man, I tell you what, working on my mom's house, I'm burning
yes.
my ass up.
Yep.
God.
Mm-hmm.
That shit's hard. And it had, I'm working on, if anybody doesn't understand, my mom has a had something go with the roof where it's leaking. So we're up there, and I'm trying to fix this roof. It had four layers of shingles already on,
oh.
already on it. No, when you that's way too much. When you put shingles up on a roof, you can re-shingle a roof. You can have up to three layers, but it also has to be a good roof. This roof was not a very good roof. It didn't have any supports for the trusses. It was simply on one side of the house where they put this addition on. It
mm-hmm.
was simply a 24-foot piece of 2x6. And when I got up there, it was like a trampoline. I was like, holy cow, this thing's broken somewhere. By the time we took all those shingles off, which was two truckloads, and that was only one-third of the roof, then we took down the paper. I said, well, they only had a half a sheet of plywood. Had to replace all that. Then we looked at that. Then we looked at the trusses. There was no support, so we had to re-brace up everything. I mean, I'm telling you what, it really turned into a massive job. And we're only one-third of the way through. but you know
you
what?
Could,
when your mother needs help, you don't sit around and wait. You do it.
That's right. You do it. That's what you're supposed to do. You're a good boy. You get a cookie
boy.
Tonight.
Yeah, I better get some cookies.
You get some cookies. Butter. Yes, you do.
I better be getting me a sandwich around here. Yeah, roll
my,
around.
Oh, my. Well, what else? For you, I did put out a prepper alert 2 days ago. California and power grid emergency. All customers should expect 14 days without power. Oh, yeah. Kirk, if you're listening, it covers the entire Los Angeles metropolitan area and most of Southern California. You want to read more about it? It's on the CRN Facebook page. Oh, yeah. That's going to be a good one. And
oh,
then,
yeah. I read that. I read about that, too. They're talking about it could shut down as much as 2 weeks or have a permanent cascade.
Oh, yeah.
Where it seriously
oh, yeah.
damages.
This is what happens. You know what? They've been screaming about this infrastructure problem for decades, and they keep and Congress keeps kicking it down the line, you know, to help out with the infrastructure building. And granted, the electric, you know, the power companies are also bear responsibility for this. This is what happens. This grid is old. It needs to be updated. It needs to be hardened against EMP attack. You know, the government gave out money for that during the second term of Reagan's administration. And
right.
over the years, they keep whittling away from it, whittling away from it. And by the time these clowns figure out what the hell's going on, it will be too late.
Yeah.
Too late to do anything about it.
Yeah, something like this is on their back burner, and they're not even paying attention anymore.
No. They're more worried about political party power. They don't give a damn about the United States as a whole. There are no statesmen left. All we got are useless, spineless politicians who are more worried about getting reelected than they are about America.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody's listening, I seriously would love to hear somebody argue this against me. Okay, and you could send it up on the on a comment on the
yep.
CRN Facebook page, or you can
yep.
send us a message. You can find me on Country Prepper, on the Country Prepper on Facebook. And I want to hear someone say, the road infrastructure that's going on, and we hear it all the time with the budget. Well, we need more infrastructure money, roads and bridges. In my opinion, I believe that they're not spending the money like they should, first of all. There's a ton of waste. Secondly, in my opinion, something like water and electricity development so that they can distribute these systems more efficiently is more important than roads and bridges.
Yep. I agree. Think about every aspect of our lives touches on or revolves around electricity. This show, without electricity, we ain't having no show. We aren't talking. We ain't doing nothing.
I mean, think about it. If a bridge goes out, okay, that's bad, right? What, like what happened, I believe, what was it, Minnesota?
Yep,
but like
Minnesota.
I-35,
I think.
Yeah, something like that. And, I mean, that's tragic and it's terrible. They should have caught that a long time ago.
A long time ago.
What if the electricity goes out for as long as it takes for them to build that one bridge?
Well,
you know,
there you go.
And that was
no bridge.
Six months, a year. So imagine if the state, just that one state, just one state goes out of electricity instead of just that one bridge. Maybe I'm not making a proper analogy, but we can live without a bridge or two, but we need the electricity to continuously keep running. The bridge or two, we always cut off a bridge and tell you, sorry, go around temporarily. But we can't do this with electricity. You just can't cut off a whole sections of the city like they're talking about doing in L.A. And that's exactly what they're doing in a short sense. I'm sorry, go around.
Yep.
So
start prepping. All right. Hey, we only said we were going to do the show for about an hour, so we only got 2 minutes left. So, you know what? It moves quick when it's an hour. And we always have information and stuff we can do. All right. Okay, we're going to be back again, what's today, Wednesday? We'll be back Saturday. I hope you enjoyed the show with Randy Cooley. It was a pre-recorded one we did about a year ago. Hope you enjoyed that. We ran it last Saturday. This Saturday, we're going to be live. Live. We're going to try it again. 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Be there. Join us.
Be there.
Yes, it does.
Like a monster truck thing. Saturday. Be there.
You're going to finish that bottle tonight, aren't you?
No.
You're a sad man. Very sad man.
A sad man.
I'm glad to call you my co-host. You keep things going. All right. So Saturday night, I want to say, thanks to Charles in Nebraska. Thanks for checking in with us on the chat room. Hope you got your laundry done, my friend. I know Wednesday night is laundry night for you. At least it was, a couple weeks ago. So we got about 90 seconds. All right. We got 60 seconds. Go ahead and what do you want to tell our preppers tonight?
Oh, hey, pay attention to the news, people. Pay attention to the news. It's all right in front of you.
There you go. That's truer words have never been spoken. All right. Good night, Terry. Thanks for staying with us tonight as we had our technical difficulties. Thanks for calling in as usual.
God bless you, brother.
All right, my friend. You take care. I'll talk to you later.
My radio daddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Terry Koss from Missouri saying thank you and good night. I am John Jeffers here at the Contra Radio Network. Thank you. Check us out on Patreon.com. If you want to support our show, we always enjoy that. We always like it. Say good night to Charles in Nebraska. Thanks for checking in again. I'm John Jeffers. Stay with us until this Saturday, 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Prepper and Patriot friends, be safe. Be alert, be vigilant. I'm John Jeffers. Good night.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in store or online at TotalWine.com.